And if you'd like to take your Bibles and open them this morning to John chapter 12, we'll be reading verses 12 through 19. John chapter 12, verse 12 through 19. On the next day, many people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat upon it, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that were with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave, and Lazarus raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this cause the people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we ask your blessing upon the reading of your word. Pray your Holy Spirit to minister it to us. We ask your grace that we may see Jesus and him glorified in the salvation that he came to bring. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at this passage this morning, we want to consider the Lord Jesus Christ in his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And they cried, Hosannas unto the Lord, which means, save now, save now. We understand that the multitude probably had mixed feelings about Christ. They saw the miracles, they heard the teaching, they witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. They observed Lazarus coming forth from the grave, bound in grave clothes. And there were such men as Nicodemus who marveled at this man of God, that he said, No man can do these things, but God be with him. And the people wondered with great wonder at the Lord Jesus Christ. Three areas we'd like to look at this morning. First of all, Jesus saves whosoever. There was a great multitude of people. Jesus saves whosoever. Secondly, Jesus saves now. Now. The salvation of God is now. Behold, today is the day of salvation. And Jesus was coming into the city of Jerusalem as one who was being hailed as a figure that they believed would be a great leader. But he came to save his people from their sin. And then thirdly, Jesus saves the world. The world has gone after him, they said. Jesus came to save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, this was a very significant time. It was the fulfillment of prophecy. Zechariah 9:9 prophesied of those things. Zechariah gave word, Behold, thy king cometh, sitting upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And he would come into the city of Jerusalem, and there would be all hail King Jesus. And they would say, Hosanna unto Jesus. And they would lay their palm branches before him, and they would do homage unto him. But the multitude did not understand who Jesus was. Nonetheless, Jesus saves whosoever. If you will, the crowd represents the whosoever in the scripture. Jesus did not turn away the whosoever, the crowd. Jesus did not turn away the multitude, but we find that he always greeted them. Yes, he ministered to individuals. The 12 were very close to him. He taught them the things that they needed to know, that when he would depart from them, when he would be taken up into heaven, out of their sight, they would be able to go forth into the world from Judea, Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world, and preach the gospel of Christ to the whosoever. But the crowd here represents the whosoever. They were the multitude that Jesus came to save. Even though he knew that they would reject him. Even though he knew that there would be a Judas among them. One of his very own. Who would give him a kiss of betrayal. Jesus saves the whosoever. As we look here in John chapter 12 and verse 12, on the next day, many people that were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. Many people. We find that in Isaiah chapter 53, it says that he gave himself as an atonement for the sins of many, of many. The many represent the whosoever. They represent you and I. They represent our need for Christ. But also they represent the people who are not here this morning. They represent your brothers and your sisters of your families, your mothers and your fathers, your aunts and your uncles, your cousins and your nephews and nieces. They represent all people in the world. For God gave his only begotten Son for the whosoever that would come unto him, the many. And we find that he came unto his own, but as John says in the beginning of the chapter, his own received him not. But as many as received him, he gave the right or the authority or the power to be called the children of God. And yes, we who know him are the children of God. And I trust that you are taking this wonderful message of Christ to others. We have an obligation to do so. What they heard is that Jesus is coming. On the next day, many people that were come to the feast, when they heard, you see, Jesus was coming into the city of Jerusalem by way of Jericho. He was coming. They heard that he was coming. And the people became very much excited about the Lord Jesus coming, because they believed that he would be their deliverer, as it were, from the Roman influence over them. The multitude of the people not understanding or knowing Jesus for who he really was, yet they perceived that this man of God perhaps carried the hopes of Israel with him. And sometimes the multitude has that concept about people. Sometimes they believe that a man can do things that others cannot. And when one man rises up, sometimes people will follow that individual. Even today in our contemporary society, what do we look for? A prominent individual that will be a leader? We might think of our own president and understand how that many have great hopes of his ability to lead our nation. And I guess that is why that so many did vote for the president that we have today. But he's not unlike other presidents in that they have hoped also in other presidents that have been over our country. And we find that leadership is one of the qualities that many people look for. I'm sure they saw in Jesus such quality. that he was a man of great ability. He did miracles. He was a man of great leadership. He was able to gather unto him upwards of 5,000 people at one time. And upon one occasion he fed them completely by a miracle. On another occasion there was some 4,000 people and he fed them. Jesus was a man of leadership. He was a man of prominence in his day. He was a man that God had set apart. One of their own prophets, John the Baptist, came proclaiming, "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand." And he announced that Jesus was that man who would usher in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the Savior of the multitude. He is the Savior of the whosoever. And if we wanted to boil it down just a little bit more, we can say, well, he is the Savior of the common man. Who did the multitude represent? The common people. Yes, they had come into Jerusalem at that period of time, noting the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of the Passover. There were many people there from many areas, from all around the whole area. And they came to the city of Jerusalem. And they heard that Jesus was coming. And they looked to him because Jesus saves the whosoever. You know, wherever evangelistic preaching is given, Jesus saves the whosoever. Evangelists preach whosoever will may come. We should always remember that. It is not a small, exclusive society we are talking about. The church is the church universal. The church is the church of Jesus Christ. God's salvation reaches to the whosoever. Around the world, people in China are being saved. People in Africa are being saved. People in South America are being saved. In Canada, in the Middle East, all around the world, people come to Christ. And he is the one who saves the whosoever. And I think that we always ought to keep the message of the gospel of Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, most close to our hearts, so that we will be ready to give the gospel to whosoever. This was at the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. In John 11:55, and the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye that he will come, not come to the feast?" Question mark. Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. Well, you know, the priests and the Pharisees were looking for just such an opportunity to take Jesus, that is, to capture him, to take him into custody, as it were. And they expected that he would come. Do you think that he might not come to the Feast of Unleavened Bread? But this man, whom is a great spiritual leader and teacher, a master in Israel himself, oh yes, he would be there. And they expected him to be there. And they heard that he was coming. And the multitude heard that he was coming. And they looked for Jesus. Although it became increasingly more dangerous for Jesus to come out into public, Jesus would not neglect his opportunity to go into Jerusalem at this most important time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The preparation of the Passover lamb, of course, would be during that period of time. And the observance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread was, of course, that observance of the deliverance of the children of Israel out of Egypt. by the hand of God through his leader, Moses, and how that God marvelously brought them out from the bondage they were in to Pharaoh. And now Jesus comes into the city. He would become the Paschal Lamb of redemption himself. Just as the Old Testament account and festival was a celebration of deliverance, salvation, if you will, for Israel, Jesus would become the Paschal Lamb of redemption or salvation unto his people. He is the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Beloved, I pray you have come also to cry unto the Lord your Hosanna. Your Hosanna. Save now. Can we ever stand secure except we stand alone in Jesus? Do we not want to bring our continual petition to him? Lord, save now. We know that he has us within his hand, that no man can pluck us out of it. We know that he is our chief shepherd of the sheep. He is the one who guides you and leads you and directs you aright. But do you not also come to him and ask for continual guidance in relationship to your life, as a shepherd might give to the sheep? So we do come unto Jesus and pray for his help and guidance and leading, yes, even our salvation. Or even the scripture says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We dare not take it too presumptuously, but always resort to the Savior and give him our hosannas, give him our praise, give him our thanks, and remember that he comes to save. Secondly, Jesus saves now. Jesus not only saves the multitude, that is, the whosoever that would come unto him, but he saves now. He was coming into the city of Jerusalem. He would be riding upon the colt. The Paschal Lamb, of course, was set apart on the 10th day of Nisan and kept until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation, or in the case when it was given as families in the land of Egypt to the children of Israel, each family, according to their need, would sacrifice that lamb and kill it on the 14th day of the month, in the evening. Exodus chapter 12, verses 3 and 6. You see, Jesus would also suffer for the sins of the people. He would be killed. He would suffer. He would be crucified. The words of the psalmist came true, and all men offered praises to him. For he that came in the name of the Lord was in truth the King of the Jews. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 7, it says this: Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, is sanctified for us. You know, we have a responsibility ourselves to live in the light of the Passover Lamb, the Lord Jesus. He is sanctified for us. How was he sanctified? He died upon the cross for our sins. He came to suffer and die for the sins of the world and for yours individually. Jesus, save now. He not only saves the individual, he saves now. He will save you right now if you haven't called upon the Lord. You can call upon him, and he will bring you unto the saving knowledge that he alone can give. It's not some kind of mystical thing. It is in truth and reality based upon who Jesus was. Jesus is the true object of our faith. Our faith is not a leap in the dark, as if we did not know where to place it. No, our faith is placed very firmly upon the rock of our salvation, upon Christ Himself. He is the rock of our salvation. He is the one in which we are to place our faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith established in the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You believe the Word of God, you believe that Jesus is the Savior, then place your faith in Him, and He will save you. He cannot deny you. If you will come to Him with a humble heart and confess your sins to Him, asking Him to be your Savior, He will not deny you. His very word is the promise of salvation. We find in Psalm 118, verse 19, it says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord." This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. To enter into the gates of righteousness is to enter into faith in Christ. Christ alone saves. And that is how you enter into the gates of righteousness. Offering praises to Jesus was at the same time praising God. Even though the crowd may not have known it, even though the crowd was somewhat ignorant of the fact that this was truly the Messiah of God, that they thought He was somehow a political leader for them, it does not matter. They were fulfilling the very prophecy of God, and to proclaim their hosannas unto Him was as much a truth and a reality as if they knew it, because God had prophesied it, that it would happen. And it did. And Jesus did enter into the city. And Jesus was proclaimed as the true Messiah of God, even though they might have been quite ignorant. And at one point, Jesus says, "If you will not praise me, these stones will cry out, and they will praise me." But the multitude praised him, just as Zechariah said that they would. And the praises of God and his salvation to his people became fulfilled in the Messiah. And in the people, and the people cried, "Hosanna, save now." Again, in Psalm 118, in verse 21, "I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner." This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. You see, Jesus became the headstone of the corner. That is, of the very temple itself in figure, Jesus became the headstone of the corner. He is the rock of our salvation. The day of Jesus' triumphal entry being hailed in hosannas revealed the day which the Lord had made, and the rejoicing of the people in proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah of God. Again, listen to Psalm 118. In verse 24, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord." These words were written by the psalmist in a different time, in a different place, a different era. But prophetically, they would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ Himself. And God's son would be blessed with hosannas. Hosannas of salvation. Even though the multitude, even though the whosoevers who came that day to herald him, the many, perhaps not fully realizing at all what they were doing, yet they were fulfilling the very word of God and proclaiming him as the Savior of the world, because he came to save the whosoevers, and he came to save now, to bring salvation now to Israel. And even though they would reject him still, this appointed time was at hand when he should suffer and die for the sins of the world, and when salvation would be made fully effective by the grace of God unto the world, not only to the Jew, but to the Gentile as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The third area, Jesus saves the world. Jesus saves the whosoever. Jesus saves now. He came to save at that very time, to be the Savior of the world. And Jesus is the Savior of the world. And so we should recognize that even the religious rulers of the day acknowledge this very thing. In verse 13, they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so these palm branches of which they held and which they brought to give certain respect and celebration unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a brief comment about them. The palm leaves are a long leaf. If you've ever seen a palm tree, you have some idea of what they look like. And of course, these particular palm trees were called date palms. They had a crown at the top of the tree, which had various long palms, and then above them there were more and so forth. They got smaller as they went up. The longer ones are on the bottom side of the crown. And the leaves, when the trees has grown to size sufficient to bear fruit, are 6 to 8 feet long and are very broad. The dates harvested from the date palm also produces the tree produces a sweet sap, and the dates, of course, are used for food as well as there are other benefits to the palm itself, many and numerous benefits that the people employed the date palm for. And these dates would grow in February on the palm, and they would be about 5 to 15 pounds in weight, a whole cluster of them. And these could be quite numerous, these clusters. And the palm lived to be quite a number of years old, maybe 100 years old. The most optimum harvest periods for the date palm was between 60 and 80 years. And so they had a long tree life, if you would, or palm tree life. And so we find that these trees grew quite numerous throughout Palestine, throughout the nation of Israel, and in connection with the sheaf of wheat and the bunch of grapes, which are also part of the fruit of the land, these were the symbol of the Jewish nation. Even today, the shekel, the Israel shekel, has a palm on it, a palm tree. And I have a few of them myself, a few of those shekels, though I don't find any place to spend them around here. But they're quite interesting, the various coins. And so we find that the equivalent of this celebration of the entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem was based upon the giving of these palm trees, the celebration of them, the holding of the palms, and the recognizing of the Lord Jesus Christ as he came in the manner in which he came. And of course he came riding as one who was upon the colt, the foal of an ass, and that in itself is significant to the way the people received their prominent leaders in the day. We also find that there is a mention of palms in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9, it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number." Here is the multitude of the whosoever in the book of Revelation. "Of all nations and kindreds and tongues and people, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palms in their hands." Those are the palm branches that we already took note of. And so even in the book of Revelation, they use the same figure here to show the multitude of the whosoever that God sent his only begotten Son to save, and that they are wearing white robes, the robes of righteousness, and they have the palms within their hands, of which they are giving homage unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Quotations from Psalm 118:25 were written, some think, for the dedication of the Second Temple, or as others think, for the Feast of the Tabernacles after the return of Ezra, in Ezra 3:1, and it may have been sung in processional recitation, then as a welcome to the worshipers, and here the words are addressed to the Messiah, and of course that is made very plain to us by other passages such as Zechariah 9:9, and they obviously receive the Lord Jesus Christ to pronounce hosannas unto him, thinking that he would be their king in Israel. Some other interesting mentions of people, by people of the Lord in this like manner. In John chapter 1 and verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus responds, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Behold, I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree," the fig palm. "Believest thou, thou shalt see greater things than these." That is how Jesus responded to Nathanael, because of his faith to believe in him as the King of Israel. "And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Also, when Jesus fed the 5,000, we find in John chapter 6 and verse 14, "Then arose those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." And so at that time, there were those who recognized Jesus as being that prophet that was promised of old, the Messiah, the prophet of God. Also, another incident of this, Martha, as we may recognize her, Mary and Martha, Martha also said that he was he that should come. In John chapter 11, verse 27, she saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." She calls him the Christ, the Son of God. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." And so there were these incidents where God revealed, even to these who were very close to Jesus, that he was the Christ, and they gave certain recognition of him at that time. It was this public acclamation, if you will, of Jesus as King of Israel or King of the Jews, which was the very foundation of the charge made against him by Pilate. This is a little more extensive reading, but I'll take the time to read these verses. In John chapter 18, verse 33, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? See, here's they were bringing certain acclamations, of course, at this time concerning his triumphal entry, that he was the King of the Jews. Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Then thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. You see, Pilate was even working off from the very same foundation that he was the king of the Jews, because all the multitude believed that he was. Pharisees believed it. Even his own disciples believed it. And we find that though some were misunderstanding concerning the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet he came in the fulfillment of prophecy. He came in fulfillment of the very word of God, and they gave their hosannas unto him. Yes, Jesus came to save the whosoever, the multitude. Jesus came to save now. At that time, he would bring the true salvation of God to Israel, though they would not know it until much later. And we find that he would come to reveal himself as the Savior of the world, of the very world that rejected him. And so it is this morning, as we offer our praises to God, as we lift our thanksgivings up to him, as we have communion and share in the fellowship of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ upon the basis of the atonement of Christ for our sins. We come in the name of the Lord to offer also our hosannas, our praises unto God, and our recognition of him. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we ask your blessing upon your word. We pray your Holy Spirit to impress it upon our hearts. We ask, Lord, you bring those things to our heart that we need most, whether it be to realize, Lord, that we have a relationship that ought to be cultivated much more seriously than it is, or, Lord, perhaps there are some who are yet outside of the true salvation of God. And I pray that you will bring that most appropriate application to our life, to our hearts, that is needed to draw us ever closer to you in recognition of Jesus as our Savior and Lord. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.